الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم. And welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding your faith that you practice. And please understand that I am unapologetic when it comes to the rituals, the authentic rituals, and the rites of Islam. I also want to mention for you to please call your friends to let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students in the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. This week, what I want to talk about, and I talked about it somewhat before. I talked about truth before, and I talked about justice before. This time, I want to talk about truthfulness and justice. I want to talk about them both together. Because we see in society, no matter what society you're in, as you have a special society, and if it has a lot of truth and justice there by the leadership, by the people there, then I would like to be invited there one day. Or tell me about your particular place. Is nothing, everything is just, and everything is truthful. I would like to see such a place. But I'm talking about majority of places where the people that are there, people in charge, people not in charge, many of them are not truthful, many of them are liars, and many of them are not just, and you're talking about doing things in a just way, it's just not there for them. And so we see more and more the erosion of truthfulness and honesty and justice. All these things are disappearing on a daily basis. And if you notice, because there's some minor and major signs of the day of judgment coming near, and I talked about this before, is that if you notice that a week is almost like a day, how quickly a week goes by. I'm saying this because we're getting closer and closer to the final day when we all had to stand before our Lord, naked and uncircumcised, and then we had to answer for all the things that we did and we said, our actions, interactions, what we did not do to stop something bad from taking place. And so this day is drawing near. And so I want to talk about truthfulness and justice according to Islam. And I want you to make sure that you pay attention, have your Quran near you, and so that you can follow along with me. Now, what does Islam say about liars or lying, about truthfulness, about justice? And so let's look at this truthfulness, justice, lying, honesty through Islamic eyes for a moment. Allah says in the Quran, and so you probably say, yeah, Imam, what chapter are you reading from? What verse are you reading from? I'm reading from chapter 33, verse 70 to 71. That's 70 to 71. Okay, so you should be able to find that in your Quran. That's chapter 33, verses 70 to 71. And Allah says, O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, and fear him, and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous deeds, and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed accomplished a great achievement. And so we see from this is that Allah is emphasizing to those who believe in him, those who worship him, those who have no doubt about him, is that we had to keep our duty to him, and we had to fear him. and always speak the truth. Do no matter what, don't be afraid to speak the truth. Many of the scholars in Islam, they spoke the truth. They received a lot of flack for it, or was beating for it. One scholar, because he didn't say that the Quran was creative and all the same things like that, so he was beaten every time. So every time they beat him, every day they would beat him like a horse or an animal, even worse than that. And so every day they would ask him, do you believe this thing? Do you believe that the Quran was created? Or do you believe in that there's no attribute? Allah does not have certain attributes. And they say all these different things that go against Islam. And so every time they say this to him, we want you to say this is true. And then so what happened is that he said, well, show me your proof. Show me your proof that this is true. And they could never produce their proof. And so he got beaten on a daily basis. One time, Imam Malik, one of the leaders, or the leader at the time, he wanted him to get the men to divorce, to say that they take allegiance to him, that they take what they call bayat to him, to this leader. And if they don't do it, tell them that they would have to divorce their wives. And so Imam Malik, you know, said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say to them to take bayat to you, to swear allegiance to you. If they don't do it, then they need to divorce their wives. There's no Islamic foundation for that. No Islamic base for that. Look at the two sources of Islam, the two main sources of Sharia, which is two sources of Islamic law. One is Quran, the first one, and then the second one is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said and what he did, his action. So that's those two sources. They cannot bring any proof. And so the leader did not do it, but a person who was loyal to him, he broke Imam Malik's shoulder blade. And so he could not raise his hand up so that he'd be able to make salat in the fashion in which most Muslims make salat. And so this is what happened to scholars, that they stand up for what is right, for what is truthful, and what is honest. So this is what happened, and probably you can think of other scholars, read about their history. And they were put in jail because they went against the status quo. You even have leaders who are not scholars. They may be religious leaders, they may be just leaders of a community, something like that, that they're normally put in jail because the powers that be don't like what they're saying. And so they do something, they had a power, authority to do something towards this person, which is wrong. Beat them up, torture them, and these kind of things. You are listening to me, you probably maybe even live in a country where they do this kind of thing. I'm not saying any particular country, I'm not going, that's not important to what I'm talking about right now. But we have people who are not just. And if you're one of the people that's not just, believe me, one day you're going to pay for what you're doing. So you need to think about that. Don't think that you're not going to pay for it, because you will pay for it unless you seek forgiveness, honest toba, and ask Allah to forgive you. And so you say, Imam, how am I going to pay for this? You're going to pay for it in this fashion. Is that on a day of judgment, you have all these good deeds and you think you're on your way to paradise. Oh, I got it made. But then you see on the side all these people that you did them wrong. And so they start taking from your good deeds. And then your pile get from a mountain of good deeds, it gets lower and lower and lower until it vanishes. But then you still have a line of people still waiting there to be taken care of in terms of the wrong that you've done to them. And so you start taking from their bad deeds. You start piling up their bad deeds. And then you pile and pile and pile until you have a mountain high of bad deeds from the people you wrong. And instead of going to the paradise, you're going to the hellfire. So be careful what you do to people, because you think you're getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. As I said several times, is that we have an angel on the right side writing down our good deeds, and an angel on our left side writing down our bad deeds. They are always with you. You can't brush them off your shoulder or outrace them. You can't do that. They're going to always be with you. They're assigned to you. That's what they do. And so they'll witness all that you say and the things that you do, and they write it down. Right now, while I'm talking and writing down the words that I am saying to you, and whatever admonishment I'm giving to you, and of course giving it to myself. Also was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon him, he said, lead the doubtful things and follow that which is free from doubt. Truth gives peace of mind, and falsehood causes doubts and misunderstanding. So this is a saying from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, talking about leaving those things that are doubtful things, and also to go through those things. You want peace of mind, then you go through those things. The truth gives you the peace of mind, and falsehood causes doubt and misunderstanding. His wife Aisha, she said one time, she said, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, hate nothing more than lying. If he found out someone lying, he will lose his respect until he has repented. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did not like a person who lies. He did not like a person who lies. Matter of fact, a lying person, that's part of one of the four characteristics of a person who is a hypocrite. And that's a person who lies. One of those characteristics, you have four of them, one of those characteristics is lying. And so just be careful of that, because you may have in you hypocrisy, that you may be a hypocrite because you lie. Every time you open your mouth, you lie. And maybe many of us know people, we might be related to people, or we may be that person ourselves, that all we do is lie, because lying is for you, it's easy to do. Lying for you, gets you out of trouble. Lying for you, you get to cheat people. Lying for you, you get people to believe in you and to follow you. But remember, the angels are writing down your good and your bad deeds. Your lies are not going to just go away. They'll be written down, the lies that you make. So please be aware of that. But let me tell you something about what happens to a liar. Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was in his dream, and he saw two angels, and he followed them at various, he saw various scenes or scenarios that took place. And so I want to talk about what I'm going to talk about, this particular one, which is where the angel said, proceed. He saw an event taking place, and he said, proceed. Let's go to the next event. And so I'm gonna pick it up from there. So we proceeded and came to a man lying flat on his back, and another man standing over his head with an iron hook. And behold, he will put the hook in one side of the man's mouth and tear off that side of his face to the back of the neck, and similarly tear his nose from front to back, and his eyes from front to back. Then he turned to the other side of the man's face and did just as he had done with the other side. He hardly completed this side when the other side returned to its normal state. Then he returned to it to repeat what he had done before. I said to my companion, Subhanallah, glory to Allah, who are these two persons? And then he said, as for the man you came upon, whose sides of the mouth, nose, and eyes were torn from front to back, he is the symbol of a man who goes out of his house in the morning and tells so many lies that it spreads all over the world. So we see from this, your lie could spread over the world, and this could be your fate. You think you're getting away with it? No, you're not getting away with it. And that you may be the one where the man put a hook in your mouth and tear your face and your nose and your eyes to the back. Then once that happens, then it goes to the other side, and then he does the same thing and pull or tear your mouth and your nose and your eyes to the back until that reaches the back, and then your other side is well again or back to normal again. Then it goes to the other side, back and forth, doing the same thing, because you were the person, the general you were the person, a person that used to tell a lie, and it was spread all over the world. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be blessed upon him, he also said, to lie against me is not like lying against any other person. One who lies against me will burn in hell. In other words, if a person said, yeah, Prophet Muhammad said this, Muhammad said that, and so if a person does that, then that person lying against the Prophet, that he did not say that, and the person will burn fil nar, in the hell, or in the hell fire. Matter of fact, some of the Sahaba, some of the companions of the prophet, Sahaba basically means companions. And so some of the companions, they knew Islam very well, extremely well. They were right there when things were happening, when the Quran was coming down, the revelation came down, and different things like that. And they loved the prophet, and they loved Islam. And so some of them, they were fearful of this because of what I just read. And that when a person came and asked a question about Islam, although they knew the answer, they would say, go to so-and-so. And then they will go to so-and-so, and then he will say, go to so-and-so. And they may go through like 50 people before they finally get the answer. Many of those people in this chain of people that he asked, they would not want to say anything wrong that they said the prophet said it and get something twisted, something wrong, for fear of this particular hadith, this particular saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And when he said, to lie against me is not like lying against any other person. One who lies against me will burn in hell. And so we see from this, some of the Sahaba or the companions of the prophet, they told very little, although they knew a lot. Massive amount of information about Islam. But because of this particular hadith, they were afraid to say something that may become a lie or leave something out. It may be interpreted or become a lie. They also didn't want to say something like that because that means that they say something and if something missing, then it passed on to someone else. So they were a little bit fearful of that. They were very, very careful of that. Some of us nowadays, we don't mind saying anything, everything. We make up stuff, and we don't care. And so you have to care what you say because you're going to have to be accountable for what you say. And so we also have to teach our children to be truthful. One of the companions of the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, anyone who called the child to come saying that he would give him something but did not give it is committing a lie. Because sometimes people would say, you know, if you do so-and-so, I'll give you some candy. The child does it and look for the candy, no candy to be found. And so you lie to that child. We can't even do that to our children to get them to do something. You have to find another way to get them to do something because we do not want to lie to our child because then at some point they're not going to trust you. Or at some point they're going to pick up that same behavior that you're doing to them, they're going to do to someone else. And then that child and then that person going to do to someone else. Because when they have their children, they may end up doing the same thing you're doing to them. They're going to pick up that wrong behavior, that bad behavior that you started. And you're gonna pass it on. It's like people sometimes, I know you're listening to me from different countries, but sometimes people would throw things on the ground. And so what happened is that the child sees that, like say they get some candy from the store, and the person would throw the candy wrapper after they finish eating on the ground or throw something else on the ground. The child see that, and they do the same thing. The grown-up may cuss and use foul language. And the child hears that, and they just repeat what they heard from the parent or from the adult. They may even say those words towards the adult. We don't know. Allah knows best. But the thing is, you have to be careful with the actions that we do around children. And one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, do not commit lying. Don't tell the child you're going to give them something and then end up not giving it to them. Because you could also be starting something that is terrible, something that is really, really bad that you're instilling in that child. Even while you're in your grave, the child does this bad thing that you taught them, consciously or unconsciously. And then they pass it on to the next generation and next generation and next generation. Now, I want you to turn to chapter 4, verse 135. Again, that's chapter 4, verse 135. And Allah says, it's about standing firm for justice. Because I'm talking about being truthful, lying, and standing up for justice and being honest. And so it says, all you who believe, stand out firm for justice and witnesses to Allah, even though it be against yourselves or your parents or your kin, be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector. And so we see from this that we had to stand up firm for justice and bear witness to Allah, even though it be against ourselves, our parents, our kin, Doesn't matter if the person rich or poor. A lot of times the rich sometimes seem to get away with things that the poor no way can get away with anything like that. Oh, so we have to stand up for justice. This is wrong. This is not right. It's not two laws. It's one law. That the rich, they get away with the law, with things that are lawful. Or everyone have a law in the land and they get away with it. Or they get slapped on their hand, so to speak, and that kind of thing. And also, but the person who is poor, the miskin, this person will get the law, what they call sometimes the book thrown at them, and then some. And also in some places, if you have a mixed race people there, then maybe one race of people will get away with what you call murder, can do whatever they want, and then another race of people in that same land, they can't get away with anything. The laws are against them. So we have to be very careful of that and stand up. If the person is rich or poor, we have to stand up for justice no matter what. Islam, I mentioned this before, in Islam, we have to stand up for justice. We see a wrong being done, an evil being done, we try to change it with our hand. And if we cannot do that, say something with our mouth. If we're not able to do that, at the very least, that we hate this thing in our heart. And that is the lowest form of faith. It is also mentioned about to avoid dishonesty in trade. There might be some tradesmen out there, or you might be trading something or selling something to someone, then you need to pay attention to this. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, the traders have the choice to tell the defects of the goods before they finish the trade. If they do so, Allah will bless their trade. But if they use deception and fraud and try to hide the defects, their trade will lose the blessing, although they may make money out of it. And so, by the Sharia's point of view also, the Islamic law, we can't do that. I have to let you know, I'm selling you something, I have to let you know whatever defects going on with it. And then you have to make a decision if you're going to buy it or you're going to not buy it. That will be up to you. But I should expose to you or let you know such a defect in it. You want to negotiate with me on lowering the price? Okay, we can do that. Or you don't want to buy it because of the defects? Then you can do that too. That would be totally up to you. But I have to at least make you aware, because if I sell it to you, then I take the blessings out of selling this thing to you, because I haven't revealed to you this piece is missing or this or that of concerning this particular item. So we have to be very careful about that. Or don't put our finger on the scale when we weigh in people's vegetables or fruit or something like that. Or a person, for example, buying apples from you, and then you put it on a scale and it weighs 2 pounds, for example, and then you bring the apples off the scale, and then you have a lesser amount of apples in the bag underneath the table, no one can see it, and then that's the bag of apples that you sell to the person. And so you have cheated that person. You're just not, and that's not right to do. That's not defect. It's just you're outwardly cheating that person. And believe me, that is being written down. So if you have that kind of behavior, then you need to stop, because you're not getting away with anything. Although you're making all this money, but you're gonna have to one day pay all that back. You're getting away with it now, but you're not getting away with it in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not getting away with it at all. So you need to stop doing this thing, because you're not getting away with it, and it's wrong. You will not want anyone to do it to you or a member of your family. So why are you doing it to other people? Do you understand that if you became more honest in your business dealing, you may get more than what you're getting right now, because you're being honest with the people, and the people say, go shop at that man's place because that man is honest or that woman is honest. You want that kind of reputation with people and not any other another kind of reputation, which is the opposite of that. Also, I want to read to you a couple more things, which is, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when a person lies, the angels run miles away from its bad odor. Can you imagine? We want the angels around us. We want them to protect us. We want them to write down a good and bad deeds. We want them around. But the thing is, when a person lies, the angels run miles away from its bad odor. So if you want them to be near you, don't lie. Be honest. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he advised and he said, adopt truthfulness, because truth guides to what you call what you call virtue. And virtue leads to paradise. A man speaks the truth and continues to do so until he is called the truthful. Avoid falsehood, because it leads to sin, and sin leads to hell. A man lies and continues to do so until he is recorded as a liar in the sight of Allah. So that was his advice to us, is that when we tell the truth, it's a virtue, and the virtues lead to paradise. But of course, if we lie, then that we will grow up, or we will end up being a liar, or be known as a liar and recorded as a liar. And none of us want to be recorded and be known as a liar. And I want to mention something else to you all, a reminder to you and to me, and it's that one of the Prophet's companions, Ibn Mas'ud, he reported, a person continues to lie as a habit so much so that a black dot is formed in his heart, or on his heart, which slowly covers the entire heart. Then he is recorded a liar in the sight of Allah. Can you imagine? You got, because you lie, you got this one dot, black dot. Then you lie again, you get another black dot. And then you lie again, you get another black dot. And you lie, and you lie, and you lie, until your whole heart become black. It goes from the beautiful glow and fresh glow that it normally has until it becomes blackened, because you're constantly lying. You lie and you lie. You all know the people I'm talking about. You know the dishonest people I'm talking about. You know the people that are not just individuals. And if you're that person, change. You still have breath in your body, you have time to change. If you know someone that is a liar, that's unjust, that not a truthful person, go to them and help them to change that behavior, because it's not too late as long as they have breath in their body. But once we put them in the ground, they no longer have breath in their body, put them in the ground, at that point it's too late. Their book is closed, and whatever is written in their book is written in their book, and it's closed. And so if you're that person that lies all the time, that is not honest and injustice, you like thrive off of that kind of thing. Thrive and enjoy it now, because this day or this world is going to end soon. We're moving closer and closer to the day of judgment. And it's right around the corner. And so please, my children, my listeners, my folk that I love you for the sake of Allah, because I want for you what I want for myself. And so please, I want you to, if you're the person that's dishonest, not truthful, being unjust towards another individual, please stop it. It's not too late. And if you find it hard to do, then you pray to Allah and ask Allah to help you. Allah, we talk about tahajjud. Muslims have what we talk about. I have a prayer called a tahajjud. It's like, say for example, 2 a.m, everybody else is asleep, 3 a.m, other people are asleep, and that Allah comes to the lower heavens, and then he with those who are around, and say, who's up and who's asking of me, I will give to them. And so you be that person, and you ask them, Allah, oh Allah, make me an honest person. Oh Allah, make me a truthful person. Oh Allah, make me a just person. Oh Allah, please forgive me. Seek Tawbah. Oh Allah, please forgive me the lying that I've done to people, this honesty that I've done to people, the injustice that I've done to people. It's not too late. But it will be too late if you lay in your bed and then the angel come and they pull out of you, your body, your soul. Pull out of your body, your soul, and then it's too late then. And you die in a state of disbelief and not being honest and not being just. And if Allah does not forgive you, then you're doomed. You're doomed in the next world. It's gonna be too late for you. So my beautiful students, again, stop lying if you're lying. If you're not being honest, start being honest. If you're not being just, then you start being just, because it's not too late for you to change. And you want to know more information about Islam, go to whyislam.org. You can also enroll in beautiful universities that I'm affiliated with, that I've been through the teachings of these particular universities, and that's American Open University and also the International Online University. Beautiful places to learn Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I am your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.